Welcome in. It is so great to have you sitting down with us today.
Really glad you could join us.
Yeah, and I want you to imagine just for a second the physical device you are using to listen to us right now.
Whether it's a phone, a laptop, whatever.
Exactly. Whether it is a sleek new smartphone or a really powerful laptop or even just that smartwatch sitting on your wrist, there is this invisible, totally silent revolution happening deep inside the physical silicon of that device.
Right.
And we are talking about an open source movement that by this year, 2026, has completely upended expectations. It has captured 25% of the global chip market for connected
That's
devices.
huge.
It is massive.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it's actively threatening to shatter a monopolistic stranglehold that has controlled the entire tech world for, I mean, for 4 decades.
It really is a seismic shift. And to understand the sheer scale of how this is happening, we're pulling from some incredibly detailed source material today.
Yeah, we get a really dense one today.
We do. We are looking at translated excerpts from a comprehensive industry report titled Eleko Sich, or in English, Breaking the ARMS-86 Duopoly.
Which is a fantastic title.
It is. And it's a thorough, highly technical, and frankly mind-blowing look at the state of the global semiconductor market right now.
And let me tell you, this isn't just some dry academic story about silicon chips and, circuit boards.
Not at all.
No, it is a story about billion-dollar corporate rebellions. It's about the hyper-advanced AI gold rush. And perhaps most surprisingly, it is about how a single piece of open source technology is fundamentally breaking global geopolitical sanctions.
It touches on so many massive global issues.
It really does. But as always, a quick reminder of our ground rules for today. This is a deep dive into the source material. We're here to distill the facts, give you the context, and extract the absolute most important insights from the text so you can walk away totally well-informed about the hidden forces that are shaping your technology.
The scope of the report is massive, but the implications touch literally every piece of modern hardware you interact with. I mean, it changes who builds our devices, how much they cost, and what they are fundamentally capable of doing.
Okay, let's unpack this because to really appreciate the magnitude of this Silicon Rebellion, we have to start at the foundational bedrock.
Right, the absolute
Yeah,
basis.
the report focuses heavily on something called an instruction set architecture, or an ISA.
Right, an ISA.
And the best way to think of an ISA is think of it as a processor's immutable native language. It is the absolute rigid rulebook that dictates exactly how a physical processor receives, decodes, and executes the raw software instructions you feed into it.
Yeah, without that language, nothing happens.
Exactly. If the software doesn't speak the processor's native ISA language, the chip literally cannot understand what to do. It's a beautifully engineered brick.
That native language concept is crucial because for over 40 brutally contested years, the entire global semiconductor universe has been ruled by precisely two of these languages.
Just two.
Just two. We are talking about a deeply entrenched duopoly. On one side, you have x86. This ISA is exclusively owned and jealously guarded by Intel and AMD.
Right, the giants of the PC world.
Exactly. They maintain an absolute iron fist over desktop computers, laptops, and those massive warehouse-sized server farms that power the entire internet. Legally speaking, basically no one else on the planet is permitted to design or manufacture an advanced x86 processor.
And then on the other side of the aisle, you have ARM.
Right. ARM operates differently, but with just as much control. The ARM architecture is exclusively owned by ARM Holdings, which operates as a subsidiary of Japan SoftBank Group.
They are everywhere.
They really are. ARM aggressively monopolizes everything mobile. We are talking about smartphones, tablets, and low-power embedded
And
processors.
both of these are totally locked down, right?
Completely. Both of these ISAs are strictly proprietary. So if a massive conglomerate like Samsung or a tech giant like Huawei wants to design a custom processor for their new flagship phone, they are legally compelled to pay staggeringly expensive licensing royalties just to use that native language.
The financial toll of that gatekeeping is wild. I mean, the report points out that ARM charges a licensing royalty somewhere between $1 to $4 per individual chip.
Per chip.
Per chip. When you multiply that by the billions of smartphones and tablets shipped globally every single year, you are looking at multi-billion dollar recurring revenue streams flowing entirely to one company.
It's an incredible business model for them.
But as much as that eats into a manufacturer's bottom line, the text makes a really compelling argument that the money isn't even the biggest bottleneck here.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the real problem is what the report labels the design shackles.
The design shackles. I love that term.
It's very accurate. ARM operates a highly unique business model. They don't actually manufacture physical chips themselves.
Right. They don't own the factories.
Exactly. They design the complex blueprints and lease them out to the rest of the industry. But when Apple or Qualcomm buys that license, they are contractually bound to ARM's rigid rules. The licensee cannot just freely modify the architecture to add custom hardware instructions to the processor.
It's basically like renting an apartment, but the landlord charges you every time you open the fridge.
That's a great way to put it.
And to make matters worse, you aren't allowed to rip out their basic fridge and install your own high-end one. It's easy to see why these tech giants are feeling suffocated. If a company wants to add a bespoke AI accelerator, or maybe a custom cryptographic function directly into the silicon to make their device run faster, they are just stuck.
Well, they aren't completely barred from doing it, but ARM makes it painfully difficult and incredibly costly.
Right, the ALAs.
Yes, they force the manufacturer into negotiating what is called a Custom Architecture License Agreement, or an ALA.
Yeah.
These ALAs are restrictively expensive and heavily gated by AR. So, in our current era, where every major tech company urgently needs hyper-specialized AI hardware just to stay competitive, this structural limitation has mutated into a paralyzing, commercially devastating hurdle.
They can't move fast enough.
Exactly. The tech giants are essentially renting their core technology and wearing handcuffs while they try to innovate.
Which brings us perfectly to the disruptor. Enter the Rebel RISC-V, pronounced RISC-V.
RISC-V, right.
This architecture was born back in 2010 out of the computer science division at UC Berkeley. And the absolute defining characteristic of RISC-V is that it is entirely open source and completely royalty free.
Which is just revolutionary in this space. Yeah,
totally. No single mega corporation, no government, and no private entity owns it. You could be a massive Silicon Valley conglomerate or a one-person startup working out of a cramped, poorly lit garage, and you can freely design a completely custom RISC-V processor without paying a single cent in licensing fees to anyone.
And the technical philosophy behind it is what truly sets it apart from the legacy players. The foundational base of the RISC-V ISA is intentionally aggressively minimalist. In fact, the entire base architecture that gets the chip up and running consists of just 47 core instructions.
Wait, 47? That's it?
That's it.
How can you possibly run a modern complex computing device on just 47 instructions?
That is the genius of the architecture. It is a completely clean slate. That minimalism allows for what the report calls modular extensibility.
Modular extensibility.
Right. Because the base is so lightweight, engineers have the unfettered freedom to append any number of custom proprietary extensions directly onto it. Think of it like a base Lego set.
Okay, I like that.
You get the fundamental building blocks for free, and then you can snap on whatever custom pieces you want. You want custom hardware cryptography? Snap it on. Right. You want specialized graphical rendering? Bolt it directly to the core. You want to build a highly specialized pipeline for processing audio? You can do it, and you don't have to ask a corporate landlord for permission or pay a toll to do it.
That unprecedented level of silicon design freedom is the dominant reason the tech says RISC-V is exploding in popularity right now. And when a report says exploding, it means corporate titans are actively, aggressively pivoting away from the old guard.
They really are.
Qualcomm, a company that has been deeply profitably dependent on ARM for its ubiquitous Snapdragon chips for years, publicly announced they are redesigning a massive portion of their next generation cores entirely on RISC-V.
Which is a huge blow to AR.
Massive. They're doing this to escape those billions in cumulative ARM fees, sure, but the text emphasizes it's primarily to gain total design freedom. Google is doing the exact same thing, utilizing RISC-V in the control subsystems of their Tensor processing units, their incredibly powerful TPUs, and right inside their Pixel smartphones.
It really is an industry-wide gold rush. Huh. But the report stresses that you don't truly understand the scale of this pivot until you look at how this impacts the artificial intelligence sector.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because the report zeroes in on a very specific piece of the puzzle called the V-Vector Extension, or RVV 1.0.
Yes, RVV 1.0.
This is the official industrially matured modular extension that is currently turning RISC-V into an absolute powerhouse in the AI hardware space.
To grasp why this specific extension is so devastating to RIF's business model, we really need to talk about how AI actually thinks.
Okay, break that down for us.
Modern AI and machine learning rely entirely on massive matrix operations. AI doesn't just solve one math problem at a time in a neat little line. It needs to solve thousands of them simultaneously. Mm-hmm. To do that, you need hardware that can execute what is called vectorized math.
Vectorized math. Got it.
Now, ARM actually has a proprietary solution for this called SVE2, but it is a fixed, rigid, non-modifiable hardware specification. You get the exact mathematical highway that ARM gives you, and you have to adapt your software to fit it.
But the RISC-V vector extension handles this fundamentally differently. It doesn't force you onto a pre-built highway.
Exactly the opposite. The RBV 1.0 extension is inherently parametric and deeply configurable by the designer.
Meaning they can change the size of the highway.
Precisely. A silicon design team can architect their processor core so that the physical vector width, the actual number of lanes on that mathematical highway, precisely matches the exact computational requirements of their specific AI model.
That is incredible flexibility.
It is. They can build it at a 128-bit width, a 256-bit width, a 512-bit width, or even scale it up to a staggering 1024-bit vector width if they are running massively parallel workloads.
Which is just unheard of in the traditional commercial space.
Yeah.
It means if you are a scrappy startup building a dedicated AI inference engine for, say, an autonomous driving system that needs to instantly process visual data or a medical imaging device looking for tumors, you can perfectly surgically optimize your physical chip for that one specific task.
And you get to do it without that multi-million dollar barrier to entry that ARM traditionally imposed through their ALAs.
Exactly. It is aggressively leveling the playing field for AI hardware development in a way the industry has never seen before.
The democratization of AI hardware is undeniable. But as the report moves from the technical architecture into the global arena, the implications become far more complex.
Yeah, they really do. And before we dive into this next part, we need to make something crystal clear to you listening. Our source material gets into some highly politically sensitive territory regarding United States and China relations, specifically concerning international technology export sanctions.
Right. This is a very sensitive topic.
It is. And we are here strictly to report the facts, the data, and the arguments exactly as the report presents them. We are not taking sides, and we are not endorsing any specific political viewpoints. Our sole objective is to impartially convey the ideas contained in the original text so you have a complete, unfiltered understanding of the report's claims.
That is an important boundary to set because the text's analysis here is provocative.
Very.
The report argues that RISC-V is currently playing a structurally explosive role in fundamentally undermining and circumventing these global technology export sanctions. Yeah. Because the RISC-V architecture is legally and structurally an open international standard, the source claims no government or corporation actually has the legal authority or the technical capability to restrict access to its foundational blueprints.
The text highlights a massive jurisdictional contrast here.
Yeah.
ARM is centrally controlled by ARM Holdings. And because of its corporate structure and origins, it ultimately falls heavily under UK and American regulatory jurisdiction.
Which means they have to follow those export laws.
Exactly. If the US government says a certain company can't buy ARM licenses, ARM has to comply. But RISC-V is governed by the independent RISC-V International Foundation.
Right.
And the report specifically notes a fascinating detail. The foundation deliberately moved its legal headquarters to Switzerland.
Which is famous for its neutrality.
Right. They did this strategically to remain neutral and permanently insulate the architecture from the geopolitical pressures of the U.S.-China tech Cold War.
And according to the report's timeline, the sweeping American technology sanctions that intended to restrict Chinese access to advanced ARMM and Bi-86 blueprints actually triggered an unintended consequence.
A massive one.
It forced China's domestic semiconductor industry to mass adopt RISC-V. The entire national apparatus effectively concentrated its vast engineering resources on mastering this open standard.
And they are moving fast.
Very fast. The source points to heavy hitters like Alibaba's T-Head division, which manufactures the Zhuanti RISC-V cores, as well as companies like Star5, who are actively executing mass production of commercially viable high-performance processors right now.
The source even points to highly specialized companies like SealsQ. The manufacturers secure chips with supply chains meticulously constructed to contain absolutely zero sanctioned technologies.
Completely independent.
Right. It also claims major Chinese fabrication foundries like SINIC are now successfully building fully domestic sovereign processors using these freely available designs.
The report's explicit argument is that the open source nature of RISC-V has hammered a massive nail into the coffin of silicon sanctions.
Yeah, that's a bold claim.
It is. It claims that attempting to restrict advanced processor technology moving forward is becoming exponentially more difficult and, in the source's exact words, arguably futile.
The geopolitical ramifications outlined in that chapter are staggering. It suggests a fundamental shift in how entire nations approach hardware independence and national security.
It really does reshape the entire global board.
It does. Now, let's step away from the geopolitical stage and look at the actual market impact. Because we teased at the very beginning of this deep dive that RISC-V had managed to capture 25% of a specific global market by 2026.
Yes, 25%.
And the report clarifies this is specifically in the global IoT, the Internet of Things, and the edge computing market.
We are talking about billions of everyday devices. Smart home lighting controllers, industrial temperature sensors on factory floors, 5G communication modules, and even the secure cryptographic elements embedded in your physical bank cards.
Things we don't even think about as computers.
Exactly. A prime example the text provides to illustrate this dominance is Espressif Systems.
Espressif, yeah.
They manufacture the ESP32 microcontroller family, which is wildly popular with engineers globally. If you have a smart thermostat, a Wi-Fi connected coffee maker, or smart LED bulbs in your house, there's a very high probability an ESP32 chip is running it.
They are everywhere.
And Espressif has released fully commercial RISC-V-based variants of these microcontrollers, effectively embedding this open-source architecture into the invisible fabric of everyday connected life.
But the sheer scale of that success naturally leads to the elephant in the room.
This raises an important question. If RISC-V is so incredibly efficient, if it saves tech companies billions in licensing fees, and if it has already quietly conquered a quarter of the entire IoT market, why isn't it powering the high-end laptops and the sleek Android phones we use every single day?
I was wondering the exact same thing while reading.
It's the logical next step, right?
It is. And the report breaks this down as the software ecosystem moat.
Yes, the software ecosystem moat. And it is a multi-billion dollar hurdle to clear. Hardware is really only half the battle. ARM has a massive, decades-long head start in building a mature, comprehensive software environment.
You need the software to make the hardware actually do something.
Exactly. To make a processor actually useful to a regular consumer, you need operating systems, proprietary hardware drivers, and thousands of applications that just natively work the second you tap the screen.
The report does mention that mainstream Linux distributions like Ubuntu, Debian, and Fedora now have official RISC-V ports. The open source software community has really rallied behind the open source hardware.
They have, definitely.
But it notes the ecosystem is still pretty fragmented.
It is, and exactly. That is what the software has to do. It translates the legacy ARM instructions into RISC-V instructions in real time. And right now, the text notes that those translation layers suffer from significant performance penalties. They drain the battery faster and make the device feel sluggish.
Nobody wants a sluggish phone.
No one. So for RISC-V to truly break into flagship laptops and mobile phones, it doesn't just need hardware that matches ARM. It needs a thriving native app ecosystem where developers are actively targeting RISC-V as a first-class platform.
And that takes time.
It does. The report estimates bridging this moat will require 3 to 5 years of sustained, massive financial investment from giants like Google and Qualcomm.
So what does this all mean for the broader financial landscape? Well, if you zoom out and look at how the money is moving, it means Wall Street is in an absolute frenzy. The report details how RISC-V has evolved into one of the hottest, most aggressively contested investment themes across global venture capital right now.
The capital flowing into this space is tremendous. The report highlights Sci5, a company widely considered the commercial pioneer, or as the text calls it, the red hat of RISC-V.
The red hat of RISC-V.
Yeah. They provide pre-designed RISC-V cores to companies who don't want to design from scratch, and they have raised cumulative funding exceeding $800 million across multiple aggressive venture rounds.
That is a staggering amount of money.
It is. Then you have a company like Tenstorrent. This is an AI-focused chip company founded by Jim Keller.
Jim Keller.
For those who don't follow chip design, Jim Keller is an absolute legend who architected some of the most important processors for AMD, Apple, and Tesla. He is building Tenstorrent's entire next-generation AI inference hardware exclusively on RISC-V.
And the foundation itself has exploded, growing to over 4,000 corporate and academic members globally. The underlying math driving this investor obsession is actually incredibly simple.
Very simple math.
It explains exactly why the stock market loves this architecture. When a hardware company successfully drops its expensive ARM licensing dependency and switches over to royalty-free RACV cores, that $4 per chip they used to pay ARM doesn't just disappear.
No, it goes right to them.
It converts into pure, direct margin improvement that flows straight to their bottom line.
And Wall Street applies massive valuation multiples to pure profit margin. The report points out a clear historical example. When Qualcomm publicly announced its strategic pivot toward RISC-V, it triggered a sustained positive reaction in their stock price.
The market loved it.
They really did. Analysts mathematically calculated the billions of dollars in future licensing savings over the next decade and heavily rewarded the company's valuation. It is a massive structural financial incentive that is accelerating this transition far faster than anyone predicted.
Which brings us to the ultimate conclusion of our deep dive today. The source wraps up all of this technical and financial data with a final tech and analysis section. It gives a really grounded, sober verdict on the biggest question in the industry.
Is RACV actually going to kill ARM?
Right. Is it an ARM killer?
The analysis is remarkably clear, and it avoids the sensationalism you often see in tech journalism. It concludes that RACV in 2026 is not an overnight immediate threat that will instantly topple ARM's established dominance in the high-end mobile and laptop spaces.
The software mode is just too wide for now.
The software mode is simply too wide for a sudden collapse. Instead, the report describes RACV as a slow, inexorable tectonic earthquake that is steadily demolishing the traditional foundations of the industry from the bottom up.
It has definitively won the IoT market.
Yes.
It is aggressively infiltrating the highly lucrative AI accelerator space through those incredible vector extensions. And because of the unprecedented design freedom, the zero licensing costs, and its structural immunity to geopolitical export sanctions, it represents the single most significant structural transformation in the 2020s semiconductor industry.
It is entirely reshaping the landscape of technology.
And that is exactly why this matters to you. Every smart home device you buy, the speed and capability of the AI features you interact with daily, and fundamentally, the prices you pay for consumer technology are currently being actively reshaped by this exact open source revolution.
The invisible rules of the hardware world are being rewritten right beneath our fingertips.
It is a profound historical shift. We are watching an entire global industry transition from a closed, rented ecosystem to an open, owned ecosystem.
It's an amazing time to be watching this space.
And that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to mull over after we wrap up today. We just spent a lot of time exploring how the open source, borderless nature of RISC-V is proving that technological hardware sanctions might be becoming fundamentally futile.
Right.
But I want you to think bigger. If open source engineering can completely bypass global intellectual property restrictions in something as hyper-advanced and complex as silicon manufacturing, how long until that same open source philosophy dissolves intellectual property borders in other massive global physical industries?
That's a big question.
Could the future of all physical manufacturing, from aerospace engineering to pharmaceutical development, eventually become as open, free, and completely borderless as the internet itself?
That is a fascinating, potentially disruptive question, and one the next decade of engineering will certainly have to answer.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. We always love unpacking these massive world-changing shifts with you. Stay curious, keep questioning the world around you, and we will see you next time.